Praise the Lord, everyone. Oh, it's so good to be here tonight. Amen. We feel right at home when we're here with you. And we look forward to coming. And from what we've talked about with Brother Greeley and Brother Dyke, we're going to be here tonight and a Sunday and a Wednesday. I think we're trying to work something out. But we just love and appreciate all of you. We're so thrilled that the record-breaking offering that you have again this year, that's tremendous. I'm so proud of each of you. That is fantastic. And you cannot outgive God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, let's read a scripture and then I'll let you be seated. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. We'll start with that. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Everybody say the word of God. Why don't we lift our hands and just thank him for the word tonight. Oh, we love you tonight, Jesus. You are so awesome, and we give you glory, and we give you honor. And we give you praise right now. Hallelujah. Thank you for the power of your Spirit. Thank you, O God, for the word that you've given to us today. And we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Amen. We live in a world filled with voices. News and social media and marketing strategies and personal opinions and competing philosophies. It's every one of them is vying for our attention. Years ago when the internet first started, and how many remember before the internet? Some of us old fogies remember that. Yeah. But they were saying once we get this thing going, it's going to save time and you're going to be able to do so much more. And it didn't work out that way. It's just constantly there. But in the midst of all of that noise, God has given us something unchanging, unreliable, and alive. It's his holy word. Hallelujah. Everybody say it's alive. It is living. See, the Bible is not merely a religious book. It's the living word of a living God. Amen. And we read already in Hebrews chapter 4, the word of God is quick. Everybody say quick. It's powerful. Say powerful. It's sharper. Say sharper. Than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder in soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. This word quick means alive. It means, what he's saying here is that this word is always active. It's always working. It's always touching, convicting, encouraging, and transforming. Amen. And when you spend time in the word, amen, that's when it does all that. But if you take it home from church and you throw it in the back of the car and then where is that? I got to go to church. I'll pick it up. Amen. It's not as active. It's not as vibrant. But when you get a hold of it, it's alive. No matter your background, no matter your religious understanding, no matter your status in life or your level of faith, this word is relevant to your situation and can and will make a difference in your life. Hallelujah. I hear an amen tonight. Amen. He also said that this word is powerful. God's word does things that nothing else can do. It touches us where nothing else can reach. It soothes the hidden sorrows and heals the deepest griefs. It exposes every lie of Satan and destroys every principality and power. I'm talking about the word of God tonight. It's powerful tonight. And then he says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces between soul and spirit and joints and marrow. I'm looking it up today. Our military has weapons called bunker bombs that can pierce through hundreds of feet of concrete and bullets that can penetrate thick steel plates. But they pale in comparison to the dynamic truths of God's Word. Every scripture is able to pierce into culture and barriers and exposing falsehoods and revealing truths that set men free. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the Word of God tonight. And then it says that the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. 50 years ago this year, I received license with the United Pentecostal Church. And all that means is that I'm old. Amen. I'm just an old man. But 50 years ago and over the years, I've seen the same scenario occur over and over again. After a sermon or after a Bible study, a man or a woman will approach the speaker, the teacher, and say, "How did you know? Who have you been talking to?" Amen. "I told no one about it." And the answer always is, "I didn't know." Amen. It's the living Word of a living God. Hallelujah. Who knows and understands the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Hallelujah. It's not a man that's probing deep within you. It's this Word of God. It's the awesome God who is discerning the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It knows what you're going to do before you even do it. Hallelujah. It knows your thoughts. Hallelujah. There's power. Hallelujah. It's alive. It's sharper. It's a discerner. I'm talking about the Word of God tonight. Oh, let's clap our hands and worship Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Word of God always affects our everyday lives. Not just the sinner, but also for the saint. Amen. If the Word, through the Word of God, it reveals His truth, God's truth. Jesus said in John 17:7, "Amen, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Hallelujah. There's a lot of garbage out there. Amen. There's even a website. Anybody hear of Wikipedia? Amen. Don't trust what's on Wikipedia. It doesn't go through a filter. Anybody can post anything on there. Amen. But I'm so glad that we've got the Word of God. It's forever settled in heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. His Word is true. Not only that, but it strengthens our faith. Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Hallelujah. How many have gone through a time when you begin to question? You were beginning to wonder if I'm going the right path, or wonder if God's ever going to hear or answer, or begin to question or doubt something, and you went to the Word of God and the Scripture came alive, and suddenly you recognize, yes, I can go another day. Yes, I can go another week. Yes, He's the God who will never leave me nor forsake me. Why? Because the Word of God strengthens our faith. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And this Word also guides our life. Psalms 119 verse 105, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light into my path." I love the way the author describes this. He didn't say it's a floodlight that pierces the darkness for miles ahead. No, no, no. This Word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light into my path. It's showing me the next step or two or three. Amen. God doesn't show you miles away because that'll scare you to death. But it leads us just a little bit at a time. Amen. You just keep walking with Him. You just be faithful to Him. And He knows the way that I take. He has a plan for our life. I know the thoughts I have for you. Hallelujah. Thoughts of peace. And we can turn to the Word of God every single day, and He will lead us and guide us. Now, it might, for somebody here tonight, and you don't know much about us, and you don't know much about the Bible, amen, how is it possible can this happen? And the reason that this Word stands above all others is that it's inspired by a living God. Amen. Inspire. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. One translation says that inspiration means God breathed. Amen. Given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction of righteousness. All Scripture. Hallelujah. Amen. People, scholars and skeptics over the years have tried to disprove the Bible, have tried to say this or say that. Amen. But we understand that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 20. Knowing this, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Amen. But he goes on to say, amen, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Notice what it says here. Hallelujah. It doesn't say that this word was written by inspired men. No, no. It's the Word that's inspired. It's the Scripture that's inspired. God used men to pen it down. Hallelujah. And write it down. Hallelujah. But the 39 books in the Old Testament, the 27 books in the New Testament, from Genesis to Revelation. Hallelujah. It's all inspired by God. And people have tried to disrupt it and destroy it and oppose it. Hallelujah. But oh, hallelujah, we've got a Word that we can stand on tonight. We've got a living Word that takes advantage of what's going on in the world and says, I've got the answer for that. Amen. I've got the answer to your problem. Hallelujah. Oh, let's clap our hands unto Him again. It's the Word of God. Amen. But He goes on to say that this Word is helpful or profitable. In four areas. First of all, it's profitable for doctrine. It tells us who God is and who man is and what we must do to be saved. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not based on circumstances. It's not based on... I read a story a while back of a lady that's living in Los Angeles, and she has converted her backyard to a shrine. And it was in a Times article, and they thought it was something great. But she did have a Bible that was over there, but then she had a Jewish Torah, and she had something from Hindu and something from Buddha, and this idol over here, and an artifact from every religion. And she would spend her day going from one all the way to the next. Hallelujah. Amen. Hoping somehow that she can find truth. Hallelujah. When all she has to do, amen, is pick up this Word. Hallelujah. Amen. And call on the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Anybody know what I'm talking about tonight? Oh, would you praise Him right now? We've sung about Him, but let's just tell Him we love Him right now. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus. It's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof. Amen. Refers to conviction of sin, what God requires, and the consequences of disobedience. Amen. This Word, as it's being preached, as it's being taught, as we hear it or we read it, hallelujah, this Word settles deep within our heart, begins to convict and begin to pro. Remember on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up to preach that first sermon, and towards the end, amen, the Bible says that the audience was pricked in their heart. heart. What's happening? It's this Word that's digging deep on the inside. It's the Spirit of God that's shaking things up here. And they could do only one thing. They begin to ask men and brethren, what shall we do? Hallelujah. It's this Word that reproves. Hallelujah. It's this Word that shakes us. Hallelujah. It's not the qualities of the speaker. It's not the charisma of the man. It's not the program, though we need to do the best we can. It's the awesome, precious, living Word of a living God. And then he says it's also for correction, which tells us, yeah, you know you're off, but here's how you get back to God. Here's how you get on the right path. And then finally, instruction of righteousness. It tells us how to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Amen. I've heard some say, I've used it too, that doctrine is to tell us what path. You know, there's a lie out there that says there are many paths up the mountain. There's one God, and when we get there, we'll all get there. No, no, no. There's one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Doctrine tells us what path to go on. Reproof tells us if we got off the path. Hey, you're off the path. You're going down a lie, a dead end. Hallelujah. Amen. Correction tells us how to get right with God again. And then instruction in righteousness tells us how to stay on the path. Hallelujah. Anybody want to go to heaven? Amen. Oh, we got to follow the Word. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee, O God. That's why God's Word is so powerful. Everyday life and our church services like we have, or Sunday school class, or elements class. You see, as Christians, as apostolics, the truth of God's Word separates us from the world. Jesus prayed that his disciples would be sanctified by the truth. And then he acknowledged that it's this Word, it's truth. But we're living in a culture which they refer to as postmodernism today. Amen. It not only rejects any declaration of truth, but it denies that there even is such a thing as truth. Imagine. They believe that proclamations of absolute truth are just tools that are being used by the speaker to persuade or gain power. But they view individual stories and opinions as valid, even though there's no proof. Well, I feel I'm this gender, or I feel this way, or I think this. Oh, that's good, you know. But the Bible says, oh, we don't believe that. There is no absolute proof. The crazy, crazy world that we're living in. Amen. And because of that mindset, most postmodernists are not persuaded by a logical argument based on Scripture alone. You'll notice that there are conservative speakers that are Christian or they're Jewish, and when they're dealing with people, they don't use the Scripture. They'll try to use logic, and many times they succeed. You know, sometimes they'll succeed, but they stay away from Scripture. Why? Because they know that on college campuses, and they know that the crowd, they're going to reject that. You start talking about the Bible, they're going to reject it. And so they try to stay away from it. Hallelujah. But I'm so glad we're part of a church. Amen. We're not going to stay away from it. Because this Word, hallelujah, is what's going to save. This Word is what's going to leave. Again, heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will never pass away, is what he said. You see? Amen. But they're drawn to truth by the teacher's testimonies and spiritual experiences. Amen. I know of a young lady that was going to high school, and they began to get at her. How come you have your hair long, and how come you're dressing the way that you're dressing? And she says, well, what difference does it make? You're you and I'm me. Amen. And this is the way I'm glorifying my God, is honoring him and his Word. Why does that bother you? This is my experience. This is my testimony. And she got them with their own logic. And they had to back away. Hallelujah. But when someone came, when the crowd wasn't there, and they said, really, what is it? She began to share the precious word of God. She began to tell her story. Hallelujah. I have found this word to be true. I have repented of my sins. I've been baptized in His name. I was filled with His Holy Spirit. I spoke in a language that I didn't know. And every day this word is alive. Every day I'm just a teenager, but God's done some great and mighty things. From what I understand, this same lady made such an impact in her school. Amen. That one day the assistant principal was talking to her and he kind of was leaned over and she said, well, what's the matter, sir? And he said, oh, I pulled my back out and I'm in so much pain. And she said, well, I believe God can heal. Would you allow me to pray for you? And he thought for a minute and he said, sure, let's go over here out of the view. And they went over there and she prayed in Jesus' name and God healed him immediately. Amen. Hallelujah. Every promise is alive. It's real. It's real. Hallelujah. You see? Amen. And that's why home Bible studies are so effective in our culture. Because when you combine the truths of God's Word, amen, with the anointing of the Holy Ghost, with your personal spiritual experience, the listeners open. They might be awake and alert because they're captivated by your story. Hallelujah. And soon they start to listening. And that's when the Word of God is able to open their eyes. They're enlightened and the power of God begins to touch them. And soon they're open to the truths of God's Word and are drawn by the power of His Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm here to tell someone tonight. Amen. You say, well, I could never teach a Bible study. Amen. I don't have a degree. Or what happens if they ask me a question? More than likely, they're not going to ask you a question. But if they do, all you got to do is say, that's a good one. Let me write it down and I'll come back next week and I'll tell you that answer. But in the meantime, let's look at this scripture. In the meantime, let me tell you how this scripture became real in my life. Hallelujah. And pretty soon, they're not saying what a speaker. They're not saying how educated you are. Pretty soon they're saying, oh, what a God. Hallelujah. Everybody say that. What a God. It doesn't matter if you know all the answers. It doesn't matter if you stumble a little bit. If you're teaching the Word of God and you're sharing your personal experience, God's Spirit's going to do a work in their life. Amen. We see this in the Gospel of John. Amen. The Apostle John was in his 80s when God led him to write. He wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote the three epistles of John. He wrote the book of Revelation. It seemed that by that time, John had kind of settled down. He had some he was mentoring some people, and we read some of their writings, but he accepted the fact that his life was almost over and his influence was waning. And all the apostles, he was one of the original disciples. His brother James had been martyred, and Mary and some of the others, all they were gone. And the apostles and most of the saints of the first generation were dead. Peter had been crucified upside down close to 30 years before. And Paul had been beheaded in Rome about the same time. And here's John in his 80s and far from Jerusalem where it had all happened. He's living in Ephesus. But one day during his time of prayer, God speaks to him and directs him to write a fourth gospel. Amen. Well, what do you mean? Why do we need another gospel, Lord? We don't hear him saying that, but he could have asked that. Why? Why do you need another gospel? Well, Matthew wrote to the Jews, and you can read about it in Matthew. He'll say, now this happened that it might be fulfilled, which was written by the prophet, and he'd steer them to the Old Testament. Amen. And here is Mark, and he's a companion of Peter, and so he's trying to reach out to the Romans, especially the soldiers and military, and let them know that Jesus is exactly who he says he is.
And then you've got Luke, and Luke is a Greek, and he's reaching out to a friend, Timotheus, who's a Greek, and he begins to tell him everything that I've heard and everything that I've told you. I want to put it all down in writing. And he writes the book of Luke, and then he writes the book of Acts and do that. And God says, but John, amen, it's been 30-something years, and John, I need you to write to the church, because the church, amen, is struggling right now. There's false doctrines, false teachers, and vain philosophies. There's a second and third generation that don't have the advantage that you had. And I want you to write the gospel. I want you to write the epistle. But I want you to include your experiences. Because they may argue with you as far as doctrine and truth, but they can't question your experiences. And so John begins to write. John chapter 1 and verse number 1. Notice what he says. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Did you catch that? Amen. John declared, we beheld His glory. Hallelujah. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was saying, I didn't get this out of a book. I didn't hear it from a professor's lecture or on a podcast. I was there. I beheld His glory. I've got an experience with a living God. Hallelujah. I was in the boat, soaking wet and hanging on for dear life, when Jesus stood up and calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee. I was there when He delivered the possessed man in the tombs from a legion of devils. I saw Him crucified. I helped take His body off the cross. I put Him in the tomb, hallelujah. And the next morning I outran Peter to the tomb and stooped down and looked in, and the grave clothes were there. But He was gone. Hallelujah. Don't tell me it's not real. I was there. Hallelujah. I experienced it for myself. Hallelujah. He goes on, we beheld His glory. He said, I heard Him declare to be the I Am. Hallelujah. I heard He said, I am the breath of life. And then I am the bread of life. And then what did He do? He fed 5,000 men, plus women and children. I was there when He declared to be the light of the world. And then I watched as He opened the blind eyes. I was there. I heard Him say that He's the resurrection and the life. And then He goes and raises Lazarus from the dead. What's John doing? He's doing more than just writing the inspired gospel of John. Hallelujah. He's telling His story. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every one of us today have a story to tell. Amen. You're not adding to Scripture. You're not taking away from Scripture. You're simply validating that this Word is true. You want to refute, whether Greek or Hebrew, or go ahead. But I'm telling you, just like the man, was he blind? Yeah. Beggar? You know, who healed you? Listen, he's a sinner. Listen, all I know is I was blind, but now I'm healed. That shut him up. What could they say? Amen. Oh, he's just a demon. Well, you can do whatever you want. You can claim whatever you want. All I know is I was blind, but now I'm healed. And that's what you're doing when you're telling a Bible study. You're sharing the Word of God, but then you're sharing your story. Hallelujah. Listen, the Holy Ghost, it's real. I got the Holy Ghost. You think speaking of tongues is of the devil? Oh, amen. Think if you want, but I got it. There's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I've got it. Praise the Lord. Everybody say, I got it.
Amen. Let's look over at his epistle very quickly. 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning. Which we, everybody say, we have heard. Which we have seen with our own eyes. Which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Everybody say, we have done that. The life was manifested and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. He said, the argument should be over. The false teachers need to just shut their trap. Amen. The vain philosophies, they have a leg to stand on. Hallelujah. Because we have heard and we have seen with our eyes. Our hands have handled it. I was there. I put my fingers in the hands. I put my hand in His side. I was there with the others for 40 days before His ascension. I watched as Thomas, amen, eventually bowed down and said, my Lord and my God. Don't tell me it's not real. Don't tell me, hallelujah, this is a living word and we're serving a living God. And it's made a difference in my life. Hallelujah. It's true. Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. It's true. The fullness of the Godhead does dwell in Him. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. And folks, that's exactly what God wants from every one of us today. When you teach a home Bible, you're presenting the Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. You're presenting the Word of truth. It's the Word that transforms people's lives. Don't believe the lie that, oh, you can't talk well enough. Don't believe the lie that, oh, people will look down at you. No, 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 no. Amen. What can they say? They're sharing. All you're doing is sharing the precious Word of God. And when they begin to question, well, let me tell you what has happened in my life. You see, when you tell your story as you teach the study, it's often more powerful than objective claims of truth. Skeptics may debate the validity of Scripture. They may argue the existence of God. But no one can deny your personal story. We've got some gifted teachers here. But they can't relate to some of your friends and some of your acquaintances like you can. And God is compelling, amen, in these last days for us to open up the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying that you just get the book out and you put it out there and you open your mouth and He's going to fill it. No, it doesn't work that way. Amen. You still got to read the lessons. You still got to look it over. Amen. In fact, we've told people at Heritage that if you don't feel, I said it at a SAGE meeting recently, if you don't feel comfortable, amen, let me come and I'll be there to back you up if you need it. Amen. But I'll just sit there with my arms folded, a big old smile on my face, and let you tell your story and let you share the living Word to your friends and neighbors. You see? Amen. Telling your story or your testimony is just a door opener. Everybody say door opener. It's not a convincing tool. Amen. The Word is the convincing. Amen. We're simply opening the door. You see, most people are not ready to be convinced they need the Lord, but often can be led to talk about the gospel after hearing your story. Hearing your testimony. How did you get through that? What program did you do? What? How did you do? It's not a what, it's a who. It's Jesus Christ. Amen. And we have, you know, people, amen, in the hospital because of cancer. And the Lord's brought me here so that I can witness to people. I can tell people. I can pray with people. Some of you know Brother Thompson. He just passed away, 97 years of age. But just a few days before he passed away, he was praying with the guy next to him as that guy went on to meet the Lord. Amen. Just sharing the word, just praying with people. The Lord wants us to do that. Now, sometimes people make the mistake of thinking that my story has to answer the question, who I am. And automatically they begin to say, well, who am I? Well, I am what I do. They want to, you don't tell your achievements or your job or your awards. No, no, no. Or I am what others say about me. And some people go through life feeling down because someone else said something. No, 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 no. It's not your popularity. It's not your reputation. Your story is not what I have. It's not power or family or skills or possession. That's not the core of who you are. Amen. The bottom line is you are a child of the living God. Hallelujah. You are an overcomer. Hallelujah. You are on your way to heaven. Hallelujah. I've repented of my sins, been buried in His name. Hallelujah. I've been filled with the Spirit, and I'm on my way to heaven. Unto them that look for Him shall He appear, without sin unto salvation. That's what Peter was saying in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim Everybody say proclaim. Amen. We don't want to hear that part of it. Amen. The reason you're all of this is that you may proclaim. Amen. Now, yes, our life proclaims there's a difference. But, oh, if you get the bug, it's home Bible studies. You'll be proclaiming it over and over again. That you may proclaim praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who have not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. Anybody relate to that? Anybody say, that's talking about me? Yeah. You see, first slide, you have a story to tell that's far more powerful than what you do, what others say about you, or what you have. Your story is about a God who has transformed your life. Amen. Your story overcomes all the barriers. Age, language, background opens the door for the truth of God's word to be heard. Doesn't matter if it's your life experiences or different cultures or languages or age barriers. No, 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 no. Amen. You're able to overcome that and still teach a Bible study. Starts with love. You've heard the saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Well, in a world that's lost and confused and hurting, you can connect with them through love and share His precious word. My wife's going to come and give you some examples, amen, of how the Lord is using her in these last days. Praise the Lord.
I shared this at the Sages Conference in November. So this is a repeat for some of you that you might have heard this already. But I have served with my husband's side for 32 years, pastoring the church in Bristol, Connecticut. That season of life ended in March of 2024 when he retired from that position. So I do not have a platform ministry. It's very uncomfortable for me being up here. I do not sing. I do not play an instrument. I do not preach. What am I saying? I'm just like you. I am nobody special. But this one thing I can do, and this is one thing you can do, and that is to love people. Whether pastoring then or now as a retired pastor's wife, this one thing does not change, and that is loving people. So what does that look like? Well, we had a woman visit our church on the suggestion of her dad. This was one Sunday morning. Now, she had come from a very, very rough background. She grew up in the streets of Bridgeport, and she was very involved in that world. One of her family members was connected to the mafia. She was beaten, she was raped, and left to debt by a former boyfriend. She sustained lifelong injuries from that beating. Her former boyfriend was convicted of that crime, and he was sentenced to prison. And since that conviction, he has threatened her life upon when he's released. Her son was shot to death in a bad drug deal. There has been so much tragedy in her life. So how can a grandma, who all she knows is church and was raised in an intact Christian home, identify and connect with her? Well, it's love. Love can break through so many barriers. So I made sure that when she went up for prayer, when she came to church, that I would be there with her. I had her sit with me in church so that she would feel connected to someone. We would invite her to our family dinners, and we taught her a Bible study in our home. And we celebrated with her when she was baptized in Jesus' name and filled with His Spirit. You see, love did break that barrier. Now she has a different story to share, one of deliverance, healing, and peace. So let me tell you about Norma. She visited our church one Sunday morning. She moved to the States from Guatemala, and she spoke no English. So how does a grandma who only speaks English communicate with a Spanish-speaking visitor? Well, love finds a way. There is Norma with her daughter, Lady. I learned that there's this nifty little app on my phone that can translate from English to Spanish and from Spanish to English. And that is so helpful. Well, she continued to come to church, and she desperately needed a Bible study. Now, still, she has this language barrier. So there is no one in our church who would feel comfortable enough to teach her a Bible study. So I asked myself, okay, why not me? But of course, I cannot speak Spanish, but that's no problem. All I need is an interpreter. So what did I do? I went in search for an interpreter, and I was sure that there was one lady in our church that would do that. So I approached Rosa to see if she would be free on one evening a week to come to my house to be the interpreter for the Bible study, and she agreed. And here we were. I was able to teach my first Spanish Bible study. So Norma was baptized after completing the Bible study and received the Holy Ghost a few weeks later. And guess what? The story doesn't end there. Norma's daughter, which is Lady, you would see in that slide, and her son, they moved to Connecticut to live with Norma and her husband. Lady starts coming to church, and again, it's the language barrier. So guess who's teaching her second Spanish Bible study with the help of Rosa for an interpreter. And we're expecting great things for Lady. So it doesn't take much. It just loving people and sharing your story. And again, in that time of Bible study, there will be incidences that come up that you can be able to share and to relate things that God has done for you and how you have been victorious. So I lead a life group that are all sages. And what sages means is it means somebody 55 years and older. So here is my life group. The shortest one that's standing by me, that's Freddie. And she just turned 95 last week. The next one is Allison, and she is 85. And she just turned that the last day of December. The next one that's standing beside her is, that is Allison, and she is, Allison is going to be 94 next month. And then the one that's in the very end there, and that is Magdalia, and she just turned 77 last week. And here I am, 71 years old. I'm the youngest one there. So, I am a kid in their eyes. We meet in my home every other Tuesday of the month. The original Bible study group started years ago in Shirley's kitchen. And you were a part of that, weren't you? Yes, when we were in Shirley's kitchen. And it was birthed from her desire. That's Kim. Kim was a part of that, a few of those Bible studies in Shirley's kitchen. And it was birthed from her desire to have someone lead a Bible study to whomever she could get to attend. She had former coworkers, friends, relatives, and church family who would attend. All were retired except for one. My mother-in-law, Orla McDonald, was the first leader of the study. Before she passed away, Mary McLaughlin took over the Bible study. Then Mary became ill, and then she passed away. And Betty Wheeler stepped up to the study, but unfortunately, Betty suffered from cancer, and she too passed away. I really didn't think anyone would want to kind of step in to lead that group because they all died. So all the leaders ended up passing away. So, but it was around the same time when Betty Wheeler passed that I retired from my secular job. My days were now free, and I would be able to step in and lead the group once again. So I remember walking into Shirley's kitchen for the first time and giving each woman a Pentecostal Life magazine. Now, this is the material that we would use for what we now would call the group, a life group. Freddie, the shortest one and the oldest one, took it. She put it on the table with disgust and said, "What is this?" She didn't know about this Pentecostal minister's wife and what she was doing, passing out their religious material. After time, though, her attitude toward me took a 360-degree turnaround. Showing love, sharing God's word, telling our stories, and having tea and a treat after each study broke down barriers. Freddie often tells me now that she wished that our paths had crossed many years before. She hugs me and she tells me she loves me every time that she sees me. She considers me a close friend. She's told her son that she wants me to conduct her funeral. She's visited our services a few times, but considers our Bible study her church. I wish I could say that she's been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, but I can't. All we need to do is love people, tell our story, plant the seed, and let God do the rest.
And every one of us can do exactly that. Amen. Many times during your Bible studies or during life group lessons, someone would say, "Well, you don't know what I'm going through." You know, and she's at that moment, the door opens and Deb's able to reply, "Oh, yes, I do." And she starts telling her story. God begins to move in a special way. You don't have to have it all figured out. You just need to be real and available. Share your life, not just your advice. In fact, in today's world, people learn best through relationships and examples rather than lecture. So as we're closing up, what are some things that I need to start doing so that God can use me in 2026? Well, pray regularly for people. every day. Lord, help me. Lord, help me to get something. Amen. Invite them into your life. Amen. Smile. Amen. Whatever. Encourage and affirm them. Amen. Young believers especially need that. Amen. Share your journey, the highs and the lows. Let them know that being a Christian doesn't mean you're never going to have a red light. You're never going to have a disease. You're always going to have plenty of money at the end of the month and everything's perfect because I'm a Christian. No, no. Life's still life. Amen. But He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then finally, model endurance. Show what it means to keep trusting God in every season. Hallelujah. The time is right. The time is right. God is preparing us for a great revival. And I believe it's going to be, one of the items is going to be home Bible studies. So let's stand right now. And let's take a moment or two to just reach out to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's ask the Lord to touch us tonight, to help us tonight, to overcome the barriers, the reasons, the excuses why we can't. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. May I ever do my part to win that soul for Thee. Oh, Lord, touch us today. Hallelujah. Lord, I see, Lord, these pews being filled of people. Amen. Because someone reached out in this lost and dying world. Hallelujah. Brother Greeley's going to come. And as he comes, let's just reach out to him. Would you do that?